If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2. We don't speak out of Lamentations very often. Can anybody remember the last time they heard a message from the book of Lamentations? Just curious. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's coming. Amen. So we are continuing our series around the Bible in 366 days. And before we get started reading this section and talking about it, teaching from it, I pray that God would speak to all of us, obviously. But I want to first say that I think what we're talking about, this church already gets. So as I'm speaking, as I'm teaching from God's word, please do not think I'm pointing my finger at any of you. At the same time, as the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, wear it, certainly, because we could all be encouraged. And we're going to be talking more about family, and specifically crying out to God for the young. And this dovetails really nicely to what we talked about last week out of Jeremiah chapter 29, that God has a plan for us individually, but as a church, he has an incredible plan for us. He has planted us in the city that we are in, and we want to serve God and reach people in that regard. And the plan that he has really centers around families. We feel a desperate need to reach families, and in particular families with children. We see that it's a great need. This morning is more of the why. Why is this? And it's God's heart. That was the end of the message. Go home. It's God's heart. I mean, plain and simple, it's God's heart. So as we're reading through Lamentations chapter 2, verses 11 through 19, we're talking about things. Just remember that we're doing good. We're in a good place. But God is calling us to a new level. And because of that new level, maybe God wants to raise us up and show us his heart even more for the young. So Lamentations chapter 2, begin reading with verse 11. This is Jeremiah, the suffering prophet that wrote, most likely we believe, the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah writes, "My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed. Because children and infants faint in the streets of this city." This is what Jeremiah is doing. He's looking around. He's canvassing his environment, his society, his generation. And he is seeing ruin. He is seeing kids that are hungry on the streets. I believe this whole text talks about physical hunger, but I also believe it's referring to spiritual hunger. And we're certainly going to hone in on that aspect this morning. I wonder what we look at when we see our environment around us. Maybe not even locally, but we see all of the shootings and things that are going on in Chicago, just for instance, in Milwaukee and other places. And we see the devastation. We see how many kids are in the crossfires, both literally and figuratively. We see that people are dying, including kids. But more than anything, we see that they're not only dying a physical death, there's a spiritual death. There's a whole generation of kids that do not know the Lord. And so, can we be like Jeremiah and look around, and can we ask the Lord to place it on our hearts for us to be grieved? Not so that we're sad, not so that we're in a doom and gloom and depressed, but so that God would start changing us, so that we would start doing something about it. Verse 12, "They say to their mothers, 'Where is bread and wine?' As they faint like wounded men in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. 'What can I say for you? With what can I compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? To what can I liken you, that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? Your wound is deep as the sea. Who can heal you?' The visions of the prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The oracles they gave you were false and misleading." Speaking of false prophets, all who pass your way clap their hands at you and scoff and shake your heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies open their mouths wide against you. They scoff and gnash their teeth and say, "We have swallowed her up. This is the day we have waited for. We have lived to see it. The Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. The heart of the people cry out to the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let your tears flow like a river, day and night. Give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest." And now verse 19 that we're going to focus in on this morning. "Arise, cry out in the night, as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street." Father, I ask, Lord, that you would show us your heart. God, that we would grieve at our society. We would grieve at even the church, Big C, Lord, and the state that we are in, particularly concerning our children. Lord, help us, just as Jeremiah is lamenting and pointing out, Lord, that we must rise, we must pray, we must pour out our hearts like water for our children. God, I pray that you would place that within us. This morning, I pray that you would encourage your people, encourage us, Lord, and the things that we're doing, Lord, that we would continue to do them. Lord, that you would help us to step up in areas that we need to step up in. And Lord, ultimately, we are encouraged that we cannot do it by ourselves. We need you so desperately. You're the only one that can change man's heart. You're the only one that can change a situation. And so God, we are relying on you and we turn to you. We don't turn and accuse ourselves or accuse others. We turn to you for help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's look at verse 19 a little bit more in depth, shall we? So first of all, it says, "Arise." Oh, thank you. For those of you watching at home, this is Len. Oh, sorry. So verse 19 says, "Arise." Arise. That word means wake up. It means shake off slumber. Shake off apathy. Shake off the non-concern that we have. Shake off slumber. Wake up. Something is new. Something is different. Something we need to see. So he says, "Arise. Cry out." When was the last time we cried out? What does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? It's more than just saying a token prayer. He's saying, cry out. May it come from the innermost being and cry out. It means to be aware. It means to be concerned. It means to feel empathy and compassion, to cry out. And he says, in the night, as the watches of the night begin. In Hebrew history, there was three watches in the night. And really, I believe what it's saying is at the beginning, so he's saying, really, pray all night long. When others are sleeping, when others are resting, when others don't care, when they're unconcerned, you be different. You need to rise up and cry out all throughout the night. Not that the night is more magical than any other time, but what he's saying is others are just resting. Others are unconcerned. You be different. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water. This is really interesting. We see this kind of metaphor throughout Scripture. We see it a lot with the Holy Spirit is referred to as water. And we know that the filling of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, is like rivers of living water flowing from your innermost being. Pour out your water, pour out your heart like water. Notice it doesn't say pour out your words. Pour out your actions like waters. Just pour out your heart, your innermost being, who you are, the things that matter most. Pour those out. And if you know anything about water, water comes out quickly. And water seeks the lowest level. It just wants out. And I believe that's what he's saying, is let this out of you. If it was oil, it would stick to the sides of the container. It would slowly come out. It would even drip out. But he's saying, pour out your heart like water. Let it go. Let it gush out. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. I think this is really interesting too, that we understand that we must be doing this in the presence of the Lord. That he's the only one that can do anything about this. We must do this in the presence of the Lord. That's not to say that we shouldn't pour out our hearts to one another, that we shouldn't raise awareness. But unfortunately, what happens usually is when we pour out our hearts to one another, it quickly just becomes a pity party. It quickly just becomes a complain session. But he's saying, pour out your hearts like water in the presence of the Lord and the Lord alone. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children. For the lives of your children. Who are your children? I believe he's talking, and specifically this morning, he's talking to us, our biological children, those that were born to us, those that we adopted. But I believe it's also our spiritual children, those that look to us, those that we have reached out to that are younger than us in the faith. Do you realize that we could have spiritual children that are actually, as far as age goes, older than us, but they are still our descendants, our spiritual descendants. And this matters to the Lord. Again, it's his heart. He cares so desperately for those who are coming after us. He has called us to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them all things that he has taught us. It matters to him. And so he is saying, pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands for the children, for our children. I wonder if we're doing that. Do we pray for our own kids? Do we pray blessings over them? Do we pray for the kids of Roots, the kids within our church, that God would bless them, that God would raise them up, that God would protect them from violence. He would protect them from the evil one here on this earth. You know, it's interesting, Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations, is very aware of how important kids are. He understands this. In fact, if you want to turn here, if not, I'll just read it to you. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah is familiar because he was called as a child. He was used mightily as a child. So here's Jeremiah now looking over his city, looking over the people of Israel, and he's grieving because kids are in the street and they're crying and they have no food, physical and spiritual. And from a child, he was called. He knows how important it is to be on fire for the Lord as a child. In Jeremiah chapter 2, he talks about how God has forsaken, how Israel has forsaken God. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, I remember the devotion of your youth." Statistics, whether you believe statistics or not, say that 85% of people who come to Christ do so before the age of 18, and most of those before the age of 14. This is a critical age, not just in our generation, but every generation. And the Lord even reminds the people of Israel that I called you as youth. You were following me at one point. I remember the devotion of your youth. How as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Verse 5 says, this is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. So he's talking to Israel and he's saying, when you were young, you followed me. Now what happened? And he points to their fathers. And I believe it's not just their fathers, but their ancestors. And he's pointing to us too, as fathers and mothers of the faith, fathers and mothers of our biological children, and saying, what happened? Why are you straying from me? As fathers and mothers, when we stray from the Lord, we change our children's trajectory, spiritually speaking. Do you realize that? So whether you say it's not fair or not, I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, Charles Barkley, a basketball player, used to have a Nike commercial that said, I'm not a role model. And he was basically saying your parents need to be the role model. Regardless, whether you think it's fair or not, you are a role model in the faith. And God called you to be. He's told you and me to be disciples making disciples. So therefore, people are looking at us and we change the spiritual trajectory of others who are looking at us, young and old alike, those that we're bringing up in the faith. When we slip away from the Lord, they see that. So again, you may think it's unfair. Why do I have that responsibility? You do. Whether it's fair or not, we all have that responsibility. So when we slip away from the Lord, when we stray, it's not just affecting us. It's affecting the children. It's affecting those that are younger than us in the faith. Do we know that? Can we feel that? Can we understand the import of that? Jeremiah seemed to. Jeremiah seemed to understand that, and it grieved him. I pray that it would grieve us. And not just grieve us to where we stay in that grief, but that we do something about that. So why does this happen? Why do you think we stray? I have a few reasons why I think. The people of God take his word casually. We have the word of God. We have the canon of scripture that is God speaking to us, and we take it casually. It's just not as important to us as it should be. And if it's not as important to us, our kids will see that. Our life group at Dave and Angel Foster's home, we're watching for the next 2 weeks anyway, the movie The War Room. How many people have seen The War Room? Okay, a few people, cool. So one of the scenes, well, really what's going on, the first part of the movie, this woman is trying to convert her closet into a war room, into the place where she goes before the Father and prays. And so she's clearing out shoes and clothes and everything, and she's tacking up on the wall all kinds of writings, things that she needs to pray about, scriptures that remind her of the goodness of God, things like that. And so her daughter, early on in the movie, comes into the closet and doesn't laugh at her, but she's like, Mom, what's going on? Are you okay? Kind of a thing. And then later on in the movie, a few minutes, 20 minutes later or whatever in the movie, she goes into her daughter's room to put clothes away in her closet and sees that her closet now has things hanging on the wall and scriptures that she's written in her own handwriting. My point is, kids see what we do. And the things that are important to us will be important to them. Again, I stress, both our own kids and other kids. I think this also happens that we stray from the Lord and therefore change the trajectory of our kids spiritually because we allow sin to prosper in our midst. Now let's get this out of the way. According to Romans 3:23, we are all sinners. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. None of us will be perfect, not one. However, when we allow sin to be a lifestyle, when we allow sin to permeate our lives and be a part of who we are and what our kids see, then that's what they see. And so therefore, sin is going to be a part of their life. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we see the story of Eli, who is a priest. He's a Levite, and he has two sons. And his two sons are wicked guys. They do some horrible things. some of the things written in 1 Samuel chapter 2 is that they take the meat that is supposed to be offered to the Lord, and they take it before it's offered to the Lord and eat it themselves. Another thing, and they're sleeping with some of the women that are at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. And so they're doing these vile things before the Lord, and God tells Eli to do something about it. And Eli just has a talk with them, says, what you're doing is wrong. But he never stops them. He never stops the sin that is going on in his own home, his own household, but also in his position as priest. He does not stop that. He's allowing sin to prosper in our midst. Are we doing the same thing? Are we allowing sin to prosper in our home? I believe this also happens when we turn inward and just live for ourselves. It's easy to just do that, isn't it? In 2 Kings chapter 20, there's a story of Hezekiah, who's a king. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him and says, all of your treasury, everything that's in your treasury room is going to be taken away to Babylon. Somebody's going to come and forcibly take it away. In fact, they're going to take away your own children. Your own children that are born to you, your descendants, will all be taken away to Babylon. How does Hezekiah respond? Does he start repenting? Does he say, what can I do to change things? Oh my goodness, I need to pray. No, what he says is, the word of the Lord is good, because at least I will have peace in my lifetime. How much are we like Hezekiah? We look around and we say, yeah, there's a generation that doesn't really know Jesus, but at least I know him. At least I'm going to be okay. At least I have safety. At least I have peace in my generation. Why does this happen? We lose the burden of the Lord. There's two groups of people that is a real burden of the Lord that he wants to put on his disciples, you and I. Everybody, certainly, but two groups of people. Are you ready? The first group is the lost. God has a burden. He sent his son Jesus to die on the behalf of this group of people, the lost. Those who do not know Jesus, who have not accepted him, who have not surrendered their lives to him, the lost. The second group of people can also fit into the first group as well, and that is those who come after us. He cares deeply about those people. See, God is like looking over a scene of a boat going around a bend. We're in a canoe and we're going around a bend, and the only thing we see is this bend that's coming up. We don't see the other side. He sees all of it. He cares about the generation that's coming after us. He's already counted the hairs of their head. He knows them. He loves them. He's counting on us to minister to them. So the two people, the burden of his heart, the lost and those who are coming after us. Can we have that burden? God, give us that burden. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, says, how the gold has lost its luster. The fine gold became dull. The sacred gems are scattered at every street corner. We just read in chapter 2 what was scattered at every street corner, the children. He's calling the children gems. Verse 2, how the precious children of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay, the work of a potter's hands. Verse 3, even jackals offer their breasts to nurse their young, but my people have become heartless, like ostriches in the desert. What are ostriches known for? Hiding their heads in the sand. That's what he likens his people to. If we don't have a heart for the next generation, then we don't have a heart for God, and we're like ostriches hiding our head in the sand. Just because we don't look at it, just because we don't know about it, doesn't mean that it goes away. And unfortunately, let me say this, does not mean that our responsibility goes away. The same way that if you get pulled over and you get a ticket by Dave, where's Dave? Wherever Dave is, by Dave, and you say, I didn't realize what the law was, you're still responsible for the law that you broke, even though you didn't know it. So I'm here this morning to say, God cares about those who are coming after us, and it is our responsibility. Why does this happen? Why do we stray and then change the trajectory of the spirituality of our kids. We cease to become people of prayer. When we come to church, we make his house something other than prayer as well. We're people that cease to pray. This is the spiritual discipline that I personally struggle with the most, is prayer. It's easier for me to get in depth with his word and love on it and feel his presence, or to worship him in music, but to pray to him. And this is what Jeremiah is saying in Lamentations chapter 2. Let's read verse 19 again. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. The burden of the Lord is for those two groups of people, the lost and the young, those who are coming after us. And we must pray. We must be people of prayer. We must do what Jeremiah says. Let's look at it again. It's time to pray. When he says arise, it means come on, get up. Let's do this. Let's start praying. Let's do something about this. To awaken and arise. Not just it's time to say a simple prayer. Not that your words matter, seriously. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that though we speak in front of men with all of these eloquent words, it doesn't matter, because he looks at the heart and he looks at our prayer in our prayer closet alone with him. So it's not the quantity of your words, it's the quality of our words. It's being serious about this group of people that he has called us to have a heart for. It's time for us to arise and wake up. Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. And we must arise and shine because the glory of the Lord is upon us. Amen. And then for those who are not only next, but are now. You know, you hear, well, the future of the church is roots. While I agree with that, I would say that they're also now. They are the church now. And if we don't make them the church now, not just here, this isn't the church. The church is his people. If we don't make the children, those who are younger than us in the faith, the church of now, then they will not be the next church either. They will go away from the faith. It's up to us. It's our responsibility. One last scripture. Judges 2. Where did his mic go? There it is. Lynn, if you could be ready. Judges 2, verse 10 says, after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. What an epitaph for a generation. This could be this next generation for us. Because the only way that they don't know about the Lord is if we fail to tell them. Another generation could rise up that would be the same way, that neither knows the Lord nor what he has done for us. So I want to ask you guys a question, and I want participation. Lynn has a microphone, so please raise your hand if you'd like to share. I want to ask, what can we do? What can we do about this? You heard the teaching from Lamentations chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. What do we do about it? I'd love to hear the big whys, the philosophical things we should do, and I'd love to hear the what's. What can we do? And I'd love to hear the why, or excuse me, the how we're going to do it. Just a few. Anybody? There's a hand. Pastors are trained to see hands, and we have our own math as well. Go ahead.
I think one of the most important things we need to do is not just come to church on Sunday, but we have to continue throughout the week.
That's right.
It's not one day.
That's right. That's good. So we're not just bringing the kids here or loving on them here. It's throughout the week. Good. Somebody else? Bob, hold on, Bob. Jay.
Just pray for the singles and the widowed and be their support system.
Okay. You said pray? Would you do me a favor and lead us in prayer for that? Go ahead, man.
On that one. Dear Father God, we come to you as our leader.
And yes, Lord.
We ask you to guide us, not just as a church, but for the singles, the widowed.
Yes, Lord.
Help us for not to be excluded, but as a partnership.
Yes.
We also pray for those experienced to be our partners
yes,
in this spiritual journey. And we just ask for your guidance once more.
Yes, Lord.
In your name.
Thank you, Amen. Father. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Bob had his hand raised. She's. There you go. Be a friend. Good. Didn't need no microphone, right? No, everybody needs a microphone. Don't play that game.
Well, just coming out of a slump, I could say definitely seeing our worth and seeing the worth of the time that we take to get to know God and to know his plan for us and the worth of not straying and focusing on just God.
Good. Absolutely. There's a hand back there.
I believe it is after the Israelites are led out of Egypt and after God works all of the miracles through that, that God tells them to tell their children
yep.
and their children's children, tell them about their experiences, what they saw with their very eyes, what they experienced. And God was telling them that that's how you pass the faith down to your generations.
Good.
You don't just share what the Bible, of course, is extremely important. All of the teachings are extremely important. But what you feel, what you has been done in your life, make it personal.
Amen. That's good, Emily. Thank you. And that's a what, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the how is write it on the doorpost in the lintel of your home. Write it on your foreheads. Not that you necessarily need to do that, but write it places where you actually see it. Put things on the refrigerator. Your kids will definitely see that. Somebody else.
Not just teach your children, but be who you want your children to be.
Yes, absolutely. Because they're looking at us. They're looking at who we actually are, not just what we say. And studies that have shown how this next generation have left the church, and most of them will say, because we are hypocrites. Why? Because they saw their mom and dad, if they had a mom and dad, living together, fighting on the way home from church and cursing each other out and not living the way that they just talked about in church. What we are, who we are, is more important than what we say or what we do. Two more.
I don't need this thing.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You were talking about the bigger cities and that and the gangs.
Yeah,
we have little gangs in our own little areas. And I would like to know from the police department where these kids are in the evenings, where mom and dad is, how the kids are getting out of the house. I live in an okay neighborhood. My neighbor's paddle boat got stolen from a 10-year-old.
Wow.
And if I hate this thing. I hate it.
You're doing fine.
A lot of people here know that my kids were not the best. And if I could help other kids
Amen.
In the Umatilla area find out where they are at night and maybe just show up and say, God loves you. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Can we go have an ice cream? Can we do something besides you out here hanging, what, at the boat dock? You know, we have kids in our own area.
Yes, we do.
Out there at night. I don't want to go all alone.
Sure.
But now you want to help? But, yeah, I would like to know if the police department could tell some of us where these kids hang out and help them.
Yeah.
And it's not just at night. They're skipping school. I see them every day on the sidewalk at the shopping plaza in Umatilla.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm not a good speaker.
No, it was great. Thank you. Poured out your heart like water. Thank you. One more person. Right here. Kathy. Could I have the worship team come back up, please?
I just want to encourage people to reach out, parents to reach out to others who are more experienced or have older children and can give godly counsel or spiritual guidance on, you know, what has worked for them, what scriptures have worked for them, how to talk to your children in a godly manner, because we're all of the flesh and Amen. It's hard to control yourself sometimes.
That's good.
So and that's just what I wanted to encourage.
It's fantastic, and we need each other. It can be daunting to try to do it alone. You wanted to say something too? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to state something very quickly about what this lady said back here. One of her questions was, where are the parents? That's part of the problem, is that they don't have parents. And one of the things that you're teaching about is set the example of what we want our kids to be. Well, that's a lot of the reason why these kids act the way they do is because their parents are drug addicts. They quit school. They're not uneducated. So it's not necessarily getting to the children. It's getting to the parents to teach a better example about how to teach your kids.
Yep. That's good. Thank you. Well, Father, we come to you and we know that you have all the answers, even if we don't. God, I pray that you would change our hearts. Lord, the one thing that we can do right this moment is pray. Lord, we do not just lift up a token prayer. Lord, we're trying to pour out our hearts to you. God, readily recognizing that it's hearts that need to change. I pray, God, that you would soften our hearts. Lord, take the heart of stone away and replace it with a heart of flesh. God, we pray for those kids that are on the streets. Those kids that do not know you, whether they're not on the streets, they're doing everything great in school and everything else, but they still don't know you. God, we pray for those as well. Lord, we do not want to just pray and give attention to the squeaky wheel, Lord, but those that are silent, those that are suffering alone, Lord, we pray for them as well. God, help us to be disciple makers. Help us to raise up and wake up, Lord, and be the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents and the Christians, and the disciple makers that you've called us to be, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in us and through us as a church. We pray that you would continue to do that and bring families in our midst. And Lord, show us how we can go to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.